Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, make your presence known. Speak, Lord, so we are aware of your great compassion and love. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. A woman stands weeping, pouring her heart out to the Lord. Year after year, her heart cry seems to go unanswered. Her husband has children by his other wife. She is barren, and her rival never lets a moment pass without provoking and irritating and rubbing in the fact she was barren. Though her husband loved her and gave her a double portion of the meat to her, her heart ached from the barrenness. Year after year, this would happen when they went up to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. At the command of the Lord, they would go in obedience to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord in Shiloh, where the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant were. All this came to a breaking point. And so she arose and went out and wept. And she wept and she wept, wept, pouring out her soul in such bitterness of soul. She was praying to the Lord, and under her breath, her lips were moving silently and speaking a vow. And she made a vow, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. Give me a son. I will give him to you. Her heartache so shook her that she appeared to be drunk, and the high priest scolded her. She replied, it was heartache. It was heartache she saw, not the influence of pouring wine or beer. No, it was the pouring out of her soul to the Lord. She's not wicked. She was praying. She's a praying woman in great grief and anguish. The high priest replied, go in peace. And may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. And she walked away. Her spirit was lighter, no longer downcast. Now the next year, when it was time to go to Shiloh, she did not go. A son had been born, and she had not weaned him yet. And so she would wait to go to Shiloh, to the tabernacle of the Lord, and offer the great sacrifice after her son was weaned. And so by the time the boy was weaned, they went up to Shiloh, the tabernacle, at the appointed time, and they brought along a 3-year bull along with the other sacrifices. A very prized, expensive sacrifice to give, a 3-year bull. And there, she gave her son. She gave her son to the high priest to stay there and serve the Lord. The son that was born in answer to the anguished prayer of her soul. Now given away to serve the Lord all his life. And Eli, the high priest, took him in. And Samuel would grow up serving in the tabernacle. Now even though Samuel was there in the tabernacle, it seems he was not being taught the ways of the Lord. Eli was fattening himself on the choicest portions. Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were abusing their position as priests, forcefully taking the portions they wanted from those offering sacrifices to the Lord. They were treating the Lord's offerings with contempt. And this was a very great sin in the eyes of the Lord. They had lost the awareness of who was there. The Lord was present. And they ignored it. Eli's household will soon be cut off. Now, in the context of the culture, Samuel was most likely somewhere around 3 years old when Hannah brought him to the tabernacle in fulfillment of her vow. She presented him to Eli to raise in serving of the Lord all his life, with the assumption Eli would teach Samuel all he needed to know. Year after year, Hannah would bring her son a new robe she had made for her son. Eli blessed Hannah and her husband Elkanah, and the Lord was gracious in response to Hannah's faithfulness. Three sons, two daughters, were also born to Hannah and Elkanah as Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. One day, an unknown prophet, we don't know anything about this prophet except a prophet shows up and speaks to Eli and speaks this word to Eli from God, recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 2, starting at verse 27. Now a man of God came to Eli and said to him, "This is what the Lord says. Did I not clearly reveal myself to your father's house when they were in Egypt under Pharaoh? I chose your father out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod in my presence. I also gave your father's house all the offerings made with fire by the Israelites. Why do you scorn my sacrifice and offering that I prescribed for my dwelling? Why do you honor your sons more than me by fattening yourselves on the choice parts of every offering made by my people Israel?" Judgment is spoken. Eli's family would be cut off, and God would raise up a faithful priest. Sometime later, during the night, the Lord calls Samuel. Samuel thinks it's Eli, and so he runs to Eli. "No, go back to bed. Don't wake me up." A second time, the Lord calls, and again, Samuel thinks it's Eli. He runs to Eli. "You called me." "I didn't. Go back to sleep." Listen to the explanation given there in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 7. "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." Now really let that explanation sink in after the second time the Lord called Samuel. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. Samuel had been serving in the tabernacle under Eli for several years by now. Some say Samuel could have been as young as 7 years old, and others put Samuel as old as 11 years old when this calling comes to him. That means Samuel had been under the instruction and teaching of Eli for anywhere from 4 years, possibly up to 8 years, in the tabernacle, under Eli the high priest teaching, and Samuel did not know the Lord. What was Eli teaching him? What was Eli instructing Samuel in? Consider 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. It tells us about Eli's two sons. Eli's sons were wicked men. They had no regard for the Lord. The New American Standard translates it this way: "Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord." And that "worthless men" literally means sons of Belial. And Belial is another term for evil one, the devil. So Hophni and Phinehas were literally sons of the evil one. They did not know the Lord. And we seem to find Samuel in a similar position, not knowing the Lord. But he did not go to the extent that Hophni and Phinehas did. But again, Samuel did not know the Lord. What has Eli been teaching? What has Eli been instructing Samuel in for these 4 to possibly 8 years? Perhaps, this is just perhaps, this is how you do the sacrifice. This is how you care for the oil lamp. This is how you honor the showbread. This is how you do the things of sacrifice. This is how you fill the water jars. This is how you do the things of worship. Teaching them all how to do the things. Did Eli ever get to the why you do these things? Why the tabernacle is to function this way? He was teaching them the hows of doing the tabernacle things, but why? And even greater, who gave the why? The why is obedience. The who is the living God. Did Eli ever get to the why of it all? Even more, did he ever get to who is behind it all? The who Israel worships. Was Eli simply teaching, well, this is what we do, neglecting to teach the why, and more important, the who, the living God? I recall sitting in seminary, and I recall being in synod assemblies and how things were freely discussed. And as those discussions are going on, I started to get this distinct impression upon myself. There is a lack of awareness of why we are gathered here. And an even larger lack of awareness of who brought us together. Where was the sense of awe? Where is the sense of worship? Where is the awareness that there is God? The matter-of-factness of the discussion, it disturbed my soul. Casually and flippantly speaking about the Word of God, using textual criticism to take apart the Word of God. No sense of worship or awe that this is the Word of God. In many ways, they were like Hophni and Phinehas. They were discounting sin, changing morals and mores, denying the written and revealed Word of God by their actions. They say the Spirit says to do a new thing, yet the new thing contradicts the written Word of God which the living Lord God breathed. Were they aware of the presence of God? Many commentaries speak towards Samuel had not had a prophetic experience yet, and so he was confused and thought Eli was calling him. The 3 times of confusion by Samuel was God's way of telling Eli that indeed the Lord is calling Samuel. And so when Samuel gets this message, it's from the Lord. The 4th time Samuel responds the way Eli told him to respond, and the Lord speaks a prophecy for Samuel to give to Eli. Do we truly realize who is here? Do we need to take our shoes off like Moses was instructed to take his sandals off, to bring our hearts and souls to the awareness that this is holy ground? By the very reason of who is here. As you got up this morning and debated whether to brave the cold and the snow-covered ways to get to church, in your mind were you thinking, I gotta go to church, gotta go to church? But did the thought, who is here, was that thought behind your getting up and coming? Is that what moved you? Consider the reasons you come. Do you consider that there just may be a prophetic word the Lord desires to speak into your soul of mercy and grace, forgiveness and compassion and love to change your soul forever? Do you realize whom you are giving your offering to? You may write Faith in Christ Lutheran Church on the pay-to line of your check, but in reality, do you understand to whom you are giving your offering? It is to the Lord. Do we, all of us here, truly realize who is here? Philip is called to follow Jesus. Philip goes and finds his friend Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about and the prophets wrote about," meaning we have found the promised Messiah. Nathanael wonders if anything good can come out of that backwaters town of Nazareth. Jesus greets Nathanael and has a word for him, and Nathanael responds, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." With that said by Nathanael, I ask you, why is it we look to Peter as the one that first truly confesses Jesus is the Christ? Nathanael says, "You are truly the King of Israel." But we look to Peter as the one who confesses Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter spoke by revelation. Nathanael spoke without awareness of who was really there. Jesus said to Nathanael, "You will see greater things." Nathanael, you will come to see who I truly am, Jesus was saying to him. More than the words you just spoke, you will see the Son of Man. And that means the living God. Honestly, as I was growing up in the many years after growing up too, I saw going to church as being with friends, singing in the choir, participating in new stuff and so forth, along with the something you have to do on Sunday morning. As I look back, I don't recall being deliberately taught the true purpose of going to church was intentionally to encounter the living God. I wasn't taught to open my heart and express joy and love for all the Lord has done, to sing praises, to pray, listen to the sermon, honor the Lord, be aware of His presence. I would listen for the wrong notes coming from the organ. Oh, missed a note there. Well, it was my dad playing the organ, so I could do that. And I'd tell him later about it, too. That wasn't nice, but that's what I'd do. I mean, I'd do anything to be distracted. I would try not to fidget around because I was a front row sitter like your front row sitters. And so I'd try to look around and see what others were doing, but I couldn't look very much. My mom made sure of that. And my dad sitting at the organ bench could see me, too. That's why we sat in the front. But I mean, I'll think all this, I wasn't aware of the presence of the Lord. I wasn't aware that through the sermon, God may speak to me and my soul. I wasn't aware that my offerings were really offerings to the Lord. Are you aware of who is here? It never really dawned on me, you go to church for a holy encounter with the living God. A holy encounter with the living God. Seems Eli and his sons forgot that the Lord resided in the tabernacle. Samuel was unaware. Do you realize who is here? Is that the real reason you come to church? to worship the one who is here. The sermons I preach, they may be good, they may be awful. We may sing well, or the instruments may be out of tune. Nevertheless, the living Lord God is here. True forgiveness of sins is here. Wonders of healing are here. The very presence of God is here. The very presence of God. Wow. Amen. And amen.